With UPS, Future You graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number, 93.9 is the station, and people, I feel like we're going to have a terrific touchdown Tuesday. Steve Rummage in the building, Brian Hall in the booth.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. A lot to talk about today. We're going to get to some football conversation today, some uncomfortable conversation, and some exciting conversation. So we'll hit all that. Also, basketball game tomorrow night. A little bit of information there as far as yesterday. We found out some things from Coach Mack on the teleconference, and interesting take here from Packer and Durham this morning. So we'll talk about that, about how big is tomorrow's game.
Brian Hall in the booth. Brian, what's going on, my man?
I'm intrigued by the bad news. I know that we got two grad transfers yesterday, both from Georgia Southern. One, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like he's going to play receiver, but, you know, it's one of those Tutu Atwell projects where you take a quarterback and turn him into a receiver. But, you know, I'm excited. Things are looking up, hopefully, but I'm intrigued by the bad news. I'm wondering what that's about.
Well, I didn't say bad news.
Uncomfortable. Uncomfortable is the equivalent to bad in your world, Brian.
Well, it's unsettling. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, very much so. Brian Hall did something this morning, Steve. Okay. Actually, he did two things.
He did.
First of all, he brought us breakfast, y'all.
He did.
The producer brought your
just
boys
Marcus
breakfast.
Marcus did it last week.
Appreciate that. Appreciate it. It's been a while since I had a McDonald's sausage biscuit. I am going to enjoy it.
So
here's the thing. I'm behind Brian Hall this morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right around the corner, at the top, you can see the blue lights of the police.
Mm-hmm.
The way Brian whipped his car at the last minute, it looked like into the McDonald's parking lot. I was saying, you're avoiding that police car.
I kind of was.
But here's the thing. This is what I want Brian to also understand. And I'm going to ask this. First, I got to ask another question, too, about that light right there.
I do got to know, what was happening when y'all passed?
All right, so there was a cop car that had somebody pulled over, a university police officer, right by them.
I saw it, too.
Okay.
I saw it, too.
So I actually turned right before it and went into the McDonald's and went through the drive-thru, came back around, and you know where the drive-thru lets out, you would have to go back through that light and take a right. I circled back around the McDonald's and came out the other side, so I didn't have to pass the cop.
Did you see me go out? Did you see me pass you by?
No, I didn't even know you were behind me.
Okay, so, Steve, we talk about these things, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if this was delegation related.
Okay.
But, you know, we make the jokes like you just passed the cops and stuff like that, right?
Sure.
The way Brian turned, you know, when you see those videos of when the delegation sees somebody running.
Yeah.
We run.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You follow me through the McDonald's?
Listen. I saw Brian running.
Yeah.
So I run.
So I went that way. Yeah sure.
But
I took a ride at the light and just, I kind of went around and looked like, what are they doing?
Brian, at some point, I'm gonna want Steve's voice, his perfect voice right there where he said, I took a turn to the right.
Yeah. Plus, it was a university. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, don't.
University cop.
No, we have utmost respect for all.
No, I do too. Me too.
But here's my thing.
I would totally say
And I was telling Marcus this when we were coming up the elevator from the parking garage.
Did you see when it happened?
No, I just saw them. There was a woman in the front, and then there was a car behind her, and then there was a cop.
Okay.
So that light, it's one of those no turn on reds.
Sure.
But it's clearly like
No. Stop. That's what I was going to say, Brian.
Yeah.
Give me your percentage, Steve, of you turn on red.
110.
You turn every single time on red at that light?
Me too. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I was telling Marcus. I was like, well, I kind of lucked out. You know, if I didn't go to McDonald's today, I might have been the one pulled over because I'm pretty sure that person probably, because I made the assumption.
No, Steve said they were already there before. Yeah. So.
I think that one car was broke down. I think that's what happened, because then I think her mom, to me, it looked like a mom come and was helping, you know, because she had her flashers on in the front.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think it was just a broke down and the cop was pulled up there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, no, I turned
on. That maybe the car was pulled over for turning right on red, and I was like, well, that could have been me if it was about a minute earlier.
Oh, no,
100% of the time. Texters, right now. I want to know, how often do you break the law at the McDonald's red light? Because everybody needs to turn right 90% of the time.
Any red light that says you can't turn right on red, like, is just like, dude, I know I can't. If there's a gap in the cars, I'm going.
Yeah, and then I yell at people who don't.
Listen.
Yeah.
You and I would have a traffic confrontation.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. At some point, Steve, I think that's what changed my life. I think I was sitting at the light, and somebody honked at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, from this moment forward,
yeah.
I vow. Listen, I think, you know what I'll say, Steve? The only time I do go is if there's nobody behind me. But if there's somebody, I'm definitely going to sit right here and wait. And because I didn't like that somebody was honking at me, forcing me to break the law.
No, I know. But see, right there at that light, there's the Brian Hall, because I've done that before. Like, if the TARC bus is there or something, I just cut through McDonald's and
go around. Yeah. That's illegal too, isn't it?
Probably. But I'm like, I don't have 20 seconds to spare.
Yeah, but if the cop pulls me over, I was going to get McDonald's, all right?
Yeah, right. Like, come on.
So, listen, first texter says 100, second texter says 100% turn right all the time. I just be limit 100% of the time, because 100% of the time I cannot give.
That's hilarious.
I love when you pull up behind a car and when you're like the second car in line and you're sitting there waiting and you're kind of like betting on, like, is this person going to turn or are they going to wait out the light?
I know.
No, I've decided that I just wanted to be that guy.
I'm like, boom,
get off the way. If I see you,
Steve, I'm actually opposite of you. I feel worse when there's somebody behind me. When there's somebody behind me, I'm like, they're banking on me turning.
I know.
I'm going to turn.
I know. I'm like, yeah.
I'm not going to be forced to play ball at a red light. Man, I turn left on right. This is just a lawbreaker right here.
I know. Yeah, look, everybody, I think I've got a lot of people. Yeah, but I'm like, dude, like, that's one of those things to me. It's like, hey, you turn right. Like, if you're besmirching me for, like, you turn right on red, then you better. Your speed dial better never go over 1 mile.
Right.
Because that is breaking the law.
Right.
Yeah, so, no. I mean, it's not like I don't come to a stop and I just treat it like a curve.
That reminds me real quick, y'all. My homeboy Mike, we were talking about speeding one day, right? And he's kind of an old man driver type, right? And, you know, his car at the time wasn't the most efficient on the road, but he had to get back and forth to work and he was making it happen. So his wife just kind of got fed up and was like, can you drive a little faster, right? Which already, if my wife has ever told me to drive faster and it wasn't to get her to an event, or my wife or girlfriend, if she told me to drive faster and it wasn't just to get to an event, she just thought I was a slow driver, we might break up.
Oh, yeah.
you would too? Would you break up with a girl who told you to drive faster, Brian?
Let's say I wouldn't be pleasant afterwards.
Listen, another lady told me the other day, she said her man was changing the tire, right?
Yeah.
Was changing the tire on the car. And she went over there and picked up the tire and threw it in the trunk. I said, you did what?
I know.
She was like, he got mad. And I was just trying to help.
Yeah.
I said, wait a minute. I said, your man was changing the tire and you went and threw it in the trunk, and she didn't see a problem with that. And listen, there's a lot of women right now, and this is funny, that they're mad at me right now. And I'm like, ladies, don't throw the tire in the trunk. Thanks for your help, but just move out the way.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So which one is worse, speeding up or throwing the tire in the trunk?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, I would not handle the speed up thing. Yeah, I'd be like, whoa, time out. Yeah, so no, absolutely.
Which
not.
One is worse, Brian? Her telling you to speed up or her throwing the tire in the trunk when you're in the middle of doing manly stuff?
I'm going to say throw the tire in the trunk because see, my girlfriend knows that when I'm doing something like that, just to stay out of the way. Like, I got it. I'll take care of it. You just go do your thing.
Listen, if you're doing it wrong, is she supposed to tell you you're doing it wrong?
No, that would make me more mad than anything. I'm like, this is my job. I got this. I'll take care of it. You go, yeah. Go over there.
Yeah. Yes. Listen, yeah. Not Middays of Marcus Maybe, home of toxic masculinity.
I know, absolutely.
And proud of it.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, no, I do agree though. This texter, I do stop at the red light because
it is a stop sign.
Yeah, I'm not dangerous. I don't swing around because kids are walking back and forth and stuff. Yeah, I do stop. But and those the people at McDonald's are really nice. I agree.
Yeah.
That it was a no turn on red. I was today years old when I found out it was a no turn.
No, that's not true. No, everybody knows that's a no turn on red.
Do you want to know something I've yelled? Now, not to the ones that are where it's the sign says no turn on red, but do you want to know one of my favorite road rage phrases? I'm like, in America, you can turn right on red. Like getting off at Shepherdsville.
Realize, Steve, that that's like one of the worst things you can yell as a... As a Bullitt County resident, like you fit every.
And I've got a truck now.
Every.
Hey,
after I put my dip in.
You know what made me feel good on Christmas night? I popped my tire and we're off on the side of the road and I'm changing it. And one of my cousins pulls up and is like, hey, you need some help? And my girlfriend looks at him and goes, nah, Brian's super good at changing tires. They're super fast. He'll be done in like less than 5 minutes. Yes.
That's an awesome story.
See, and that's where I can't be pleased because I'm like, you should have told him I need some help.
Four hands are better than two. It's cold out here.
My wife reached over from the passenger seat and honked the horn. I about lost my. Oh.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Wait a minute.
Now that's getting serious.
Is that worse than her turning your steak on the grill?
Oh God, we're getting to some serious arguments here. She was like, "Hey, I flipped the pork chops."
What?
Don't touch the grill.
Yeah,
that's my territory.
Oh,
you seasoned the pork chops. I cooked them. We have a simple system here.
Like, so our
entire marriage has been built on the system of trust.
I know.
You flip my pork chops. Yeah.
You season, I cook. Season, cook.
Yeah. It's been going on since Adam and Eve.
Yeah, everybody knows.
I married Charity, not Chaz. Let me get to his phone line. Nate, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away, my man.
Man, I got you said that the wife reaching over and honking the horn, man. There have been many dudes about got beat up because their girlfriend want to reach across to honk the horn. That's a no-no. But you guys are talking about wives picking up tires and doing manly things, and I just remember a story. Somebody who will not – I shall not name, but they host a radio show that's before yours.
Okay.
Also being in a truck who was a person who was on a radio show before yours this morning. And these two grown men in one of their cars.
I remember.
Being on the side of the road with a flat tire. And both of them are looking for some woman to help them out because they don't know how to change a damn tire.
I remember that.
And I lost my mind. My whole head exploded. My wife might as well have honked the horn, told me to get in the truck. She was going to change it herself before these two grown men who don't know which side of the tire iron to hold on to. I mean, I offered both to teach. Send them both to like a man class, learn how to be a man. Steve, you talking the other day, your new truck, fancy little truck, whatnot. You got your little man card.
I heard great. You. I saw hey, your
you
know, message.
Look, I ain't gonna call you out on the radio. That's fine. I like your truck. That's all that. But you get a man card and you get a truck, but you also ought not have said man card unless you know how to change a tire. I'm not insinuating that you don't know how to change a tire, but there are grown men that we know who don't know how to change the tire.
I listen, totally agree, man.
Nate, I appreciate the call. It's disappointing.
Yeah,
to say the least. Sometimes, okay. So where are we at in today's conversation, Steve? Where would you like to start?
Oh my gosh, geez, where do we start today?
Oh,
I mean, I guess.
Is it too early to go right into that conversation, the uncomfortable conversation? We kind of set it up. Ryan was wanting to do that. We can go Packer and Durham. We can go uncomfortable conversation. What do you think the people want, Brian?
I don't know. Well, we can put it up. Basketball, football.
Basketball, football. Texters, yeah, give us 38-31-93-9. Which way do you go? Brian, just guess which way are most of the fans going to go, basketball or football? We're going to wait for some texters. The quicker you text in, the quicker you can dominate which direction we go. So if you're dying to get in on basketball or football, you better text quick. 38-31-93-9.
I think basketball is probably the more elongated conversation that we would have, but I think that the fan base wants to hear a little bit about these two grad transfers first, maybe.
It's fair enough.
Brian? You got the pulse of the people.
You do. That was a good call, man.
There you go.
A lot of footballs.
I think we'll probably talk basketball the longest, but I think they kind of want to hear your all's opinions on those two guys real quick.
There's actually no basketball.
A lot of football, man.
Does that mean we're just happy with our basketball team?
I think so.
We have 15 texters.
I know.
That all want to talk football.
I'm kind of surprised that.
You know, Drew said something. I shouldn't be surprised. You know what Drew said this morning? And we're talking about the guys returning.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Cole Bentley and, Robbie Bell. And he said, this. I used to say something used to you. I used to say, in Tennessee, people argue about the line depth.
Mm-hmm.
That was the difference.
Yeah.
You could have a radio show and talk about linemen in Tennessee.
Absolutely.
I thought about that when Drew said, we actually know all of our linemen. Or,
yeah.
Or we know, without Mekhi Becton, we actually know 5 offensive line names. We know who we lost.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's evolution in the football world. That's why when you look up here, we get our first basketball. Did that person want to talk basketball, or was he?
Well, I think there's a lot of people that want to hear, and we'll get to the basketball talk. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they weren't just trying to be contrarian.
No. I think people. I mean, you've got a team that's right outside of the top 25, man.
Okay. So where do we go? Do we go uncomfortable? Do we go the grad transfers? I think we just talked about that last night. We didn't really get the chance to talk about it. You know, no, we did talk about it during the show, didn't we?
The basketball conversation.
No, I'm sorry. The football.
Yeah, we talked about the grad transfers.
Okay.
Yeah, we did. And I don't think that's necessarily where we'll go today. Okay. I think that the grad transfers we're excited about. I like that we didn't really talk about Wirtz.
Mm.
I like that move. Wirtz is a guy who will come in. He'll move to wide receiver. I like him moving to wide receiver. He's still an option as far as depth goes at quarterback. But
stop right there.
Okay.
Because I want to let that one. I'll drag us into this other world.
Okay.
The uncomfortable world. Okay. Everybody has been, it's fair to say, everybody has been a little antsy about our quarterback situation. I've said, You know, even when I was talking about the Coach Satterfield Rehabilitation Project, one of my key points was everyone's antsy with you, Coach, in the quarterback situation right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we understand you have your confidence in your players, but the product we see just, you know, like, we don't see the practice. It's kind of like a Mac thing, you know what I'm saying? So, just like Mac, some things, like, become apparent over time.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as where we sit right now, you know, we're mad at you as a fan base a little bit. Not mad at you. We're a little, you know, agitated with you as a fan base. And this is at the time. At the time I made, you know, these steps. One of the most important things was you got to get a quarterback. You got to get somebody intriguing for us to think about in the offseason.
Absolutely.
I didn't think Wirtz was that guy to raise any intrigue. Our scholarships are filled up. That our quarterback locker room is what it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if I say I'm going to be antsy about this quarterback room all season, how valid, how fair is that? How does that transfer? Because, again, when you say depth, that's you saying he doesn't look like a guy to come in here and just, you know, run the quarterback position. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's all in to the wide receiver position.
He's working out. Like, yeah. He is bought into, hey, if I want to make the NFL at 5'11", I it's going to be as a receiver.
Yes. He's in. He's all in on receiver. So, yeah, so he's not going to be an intriguing conversation about any kind of quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
A quarterback room is what it is.
Sure.
How do I get through my offseason feeling like the same, you know, the same quarterback room is what it is and not be, you know, like, is okay, between now and the next season, is there going to be anything that can get me excited about the quarterback play?
Yeah, I think so.
Is he missing out on quarterbacks?
Well, yes. And
okay, is that a okay? If you say our coach is missing out on quarterback, and it might not be you, it might be just public perception we're talking about, or it can be you individually. Because I don't know if I feel like he's missing out on quarterbacks, or, you know, is it not a crop that really, you know, or that we need here?
Yeah.
You know, is it not the type of quarterback? But I do know.
Yeah.
You know, I do know at the rate we're going, I don't know how to get excited about Malik Cunningham's, his flaws and his, you know, he has his good things and his bad things, but it's like, you're so wanting to make a big jump and you didn't see him make big jumps. So you're kind of like, I don't want apathy.
I know. And that's what I think the biggest worry is. By the way, shout out Devin, 15th birthday today. Happy birthday, man.
Shout out Devin.
Yeah, happy birthday, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Devin. Oh, that's my Devin. Oh, boy, yeah, what's going on, Devin?
Yeah, yeah. Give him a good shout out there, man.
Yeah, shout out Devin.
Yeah. What's going on? So, anyways, yeah, here's the problem. I do think that what we've learned, because let's just talk about what we've learned, and then we'll look at some other things too. What we've learned is Malik Cunningham's your quarterback next year. Okay, that conversation's over. Your quarterback room right now is Malik Cunningham, Evan Conley, TJ Lewis, if he stays at quarterback, and my guy from Trinity, the walk-on that they picked up.
Nathan McElroy.
Yeah.
Do you think TJ Lewis is going to stay a quarterback?
I think he's going to get a look some other places, too. I think he'll get a shot, though. But is he better?
We can agree, though. So there's one scholarship open, technically, I think, because of Williams not signing. Can we assume that that's going to go to a quarterback?
No, I think they closed that one with Wirtz.
Even though he's not going to play quarterback technically?
Yeah, I think. Well, no. I mean,
we're
talking
about scholarship number.
I know they're at 25, but isn't that including Williams?
I don't know.
I think they have one spot left.
Jody, I was reading on Cardinal Authority, and he's saying they don't have any left.
Okay.
So I'll take his word, but I mean, you might be right on that. I don't know. But the point is, it doesn't look like they're going to get anybody else at this point today. So if that's the case, Cunningham's your quarterback. Okay? So, like, now let's live in that world. Because it's like there's no sense in continuing to, okay, well, what if we do this? What if we do this? What if we do this? I mean, look, because I agree with you. I would have liked to have saw a quarterback come in that would have gave competition.
That challenges him for the quarterback spot, yeah.
Because to me, the one worry I do have is that there is no competition for him next year. I mean, he's the quarterback. I mean, barring, like Brian's talking about, barring somebody else coming in, there's no option there, really. I mean, Evan going to challenge him?
No.
No. You know, so Malik's the guy, and he knows it. Now, there's another side to that coin. Could Malik has a good name, okay, from high school football?
Slow down.
Yeah.
Because this is a great point.
Yeah.
Why is Coach Satterfield and Louisville having such a hard time getting in a quarterback to challenge Malik Cunningham for the job?
Yeah, Malik Cunningham has a good name in the South. He had a good name coming out. I mean, this is a kid that was a 4-star, had offers from LSU, had offers from, you know, I mean, you name a lot of the schools, Florida State, the different ones down there.
Lavelle Boyd.
Yeah.
Lavelle Boyd told us a year ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I said, Lavelle, is there anybody? He was on the show, y'all. Wide receiver, one of the best possession receivers in Louisville history. We had him on the show. He said, Lavelle, give us a name. You know what I'm saying? Give us something to be excited about. Lavelle said, hey, man, there's this kid down in Georgia. I think committed to Louisville. Name's Malik Cunningham.
Mm-hmm.
Said, watch out for that kid.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, he's a big-time player. And Lavelle did the camps. He did the P300 camps at the time. So he can warn us about him and his reputation.
Yeah. So he has a good name. Now, as I make this point, let me be clear. So I don't want to deal with this on the text line. I'm not trying to sell you that he's going to be some superstar next year. Mm. I'm telling you why I think we're struggling to get a quarterback.
Mm.
Okay. Malik's got that name. Malik comes out. Malik's Alabama guy. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. But Malik coming out, he comes into the system. He redshirts. He comes in. He don't redshirt. He plays. His sophomore year, he wins 8 games. He's getting a lot of accolades. He comes out last year. His numbers are still good last year outside of the turnovers.
Right.
You know, I think here's the problem. Guys just aren't coming. Guys just aren't going to come and compete with a guy who is – now, remember, we're talking the guys that were – I mean, you know, yeah, sure, if a Justin Fields transfers, I'm like, I don't give a crap about him being there.
Right.
So it's we're looking at a guy who – mid-majors and stuff and different guys that we've looked at are like, well, I'm not going up there and competing with a guy who's already been in the system for 2 years.
You know what else too? We are the guiltiest fan base on the planet of this, Steve, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know our self-confidence and self-worth is growing just as fast as the program is.
Sure.
If not faster. If you go type in, okay, Steve, I reach out to you. You're a grad transfer, or either grad transfer or transfer,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I reach out to you and I say, you know, hey, this is Scott Satterfield from Louisville. Would you be interested in considering us, you know what I'm saying, for your transfer, right? And, oh man, Louisville, yeah, coach, you know, how's it going? You know, good, you know, scholarship, and, you know, you talk to him, and, you know, we have an explosive offense, and we're one of the tops in the nation, and, You know, we got returning wide receivers who are supposed to be all conference, and Coach Brown's defense efficiency, and you know, we think we got a good little product to put around you. You know, we need a quarterback situation. Okay, well, Coach, you know, let me think on this. I'm gonna get back. You know, let me get back right back with you.
Yeah.
Right.
And I know this would be Malik's fifth year, but I'm saying 2 years in Satterfield because they're not going to care about what he did with Bobby.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thanks, Coach. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you get off the phone. Mom, that was Louisville, but they just called. You know what I'm saying? You know, talking about grad transferring. Oh, really, honey? Who they got a quarterback? This guy named Malik Cunningham. Let me go to the highlights real quick.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube Malik Cunningham.
Mm-hmm.
I dare somebody to type in Malik Cunningham highlights and say, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm not going there.
Right.
That's him? That's the coach. That's the guy y'all talking about bringing in some. We think you can bring some good competition in for Malik Cunningham.
Yeah.
It's all good until you type in his YouTube and you say, because here's the thing. We're mad at him, even when he scored. Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus Maben set y'all up for failure on this one. When Marcus Maben said, Malik should really just hand off the ball more around the goal line and inside the 20 to get the running backs to get more touchdowns, right? But now quarterback that wants to transfer, he puts in Malik highlights, and every time it gets around the 20 to 30, Malik's running these touchdowns in, hitting somebody with a fake move. See, because YouTube didn't show the three plays before where he took a couple tackles for losses or something like that. You just see him like, oh, this dude got moves. He got a can't. Who? What? No. You see him up the sideline of desperate, you know, and I'm just talking about first glances. Of course, you know, you can do some more research and if you're bold enough to call the coach back and say, Coach, like, you know, what do you think my chances are really playing over him? You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. What don't you like about your quarterback? You know, well, he's kind of turnover prone and sometimes he misses open wide receivers. He looks good, Coach.
Yeah.
Looks really good on tape.
Yeah.
Every time we watch these games, commentator says, boy, they got one of the most explosive quarterbacks in the country. And we're like, but he turns the ball over too much.
Yeah.
I'm mad.
Which he does. Like, I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm not. That's why I say this isn't a conversation for me to try to say, well, he's our guy, so here we're going to
I'm being outside eyeball.
But I'm trying to. We're trying to explain to people why you're not getting a guy.
Yeah, outside eyeballs, and again, the transfer thing was kind of theoretical. What I'm saying right now is when Packer and Durham, he's like, you know, listen, as good as you are, living up to the Lamar Jackson legacy is probably the worst thing that could ever happen to you in your life.
Yeah.
You know, Packer Durham says that. The game time starts. People, you're in for a treat. This guy, Malik Cunningham, is explosive. You blink and he's gone, right?
Yeah.
And they know that, but all we're waiting for is the turnover.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we said it during the season, clean up the turnovers. We got a way different season, a way different number.
Sure.
So, yeah, point being, I could see how, to your point, I could see how he could scare off a guy.
Yeah, no.
Especially a transfer.
A mid-major transfer, which are the guys we're kind of looking at here, you know. So I think that's again, like I said, an elite guy probably doesn't care. He's probably like, oh, I'm going to come in, I'm gonna take a job from him. But go watch him. Like you had a great point there. Go watch a Malik highlight film, and you're not going to see him throwing interceptions and stuff. You're going to see his highlights, and his highlights are very good.
And keep in mind, his numbers are good to match the highlights.
Look, absolutely. So last year, I mean, it was really the turnovers. That was it. Now it's a big deal. I'm not trying to say, well, if he doesn't have the turnovers, like, I'm not doing the Kentucky thing. Like, well, we're 1-0 in our new season, or. Well, we would have been 9-3. Okay, whatever. I mean, if he didn't have turnovers, but because he did have the turnovers. But that was the one thing we were angry at. Now he does miss some receivers here and there, you know. I mean, so I'm not saying he's the greatest thing walking even without the turnovers, but his numbers are good, man.
Yeah, and how many teams take him at quarterback if he was transferring to ACC?
Oh, probably quite a few. Yeah. Yeah. I think, he would be a guy.
He would win out quarterbacking jobs at most other places.
Sure. Well, not, maybe, quite a few. Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody who has our kind of style.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not the traditionalists. He won't win.
Yeah.
But anybody who doesn't mind running.
Sure.
He used that. Lawrence, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
What's up, guys?
What's going on?
So, I got to set the bourbon ready for all season next year because Malik Cunningham is going to be playing quarterback at the University of Louisville.
Yes.
Because there's going to be a whole lot of games where you're going to give me a whole lot of headache. I can already see that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Lawrence, I appreciate the call.
That's why I say I'm not to the point where I'm selling Malik next year. I'm not to the point where I'm not going to admit I really, really like what they've added on defense. Mm-hmm. I like the receiving core. I like my running backs.
You like your line coming back.
I like my line with adding Hudson. Super thrilled.
We know we can win with Cunningham, but he doesn't build excitement because we're coming off of a rough year, so it's hard for fans to, in the off season, get excited about another year with Cunningham next year after what we just saw. But we know that from 2 years ago, he's capable of being a good quarterback, so we're not really at that point where we're throwing in the towel and saying, oh, we're done for next year, but at the same time, we're not like overly excited about it.
No, I agree. I think Brian's first statement was spot on. I think it doesn't generate the excitement for the summer.
Yeah, and no quarterback battle at your school. Like, unless you got a solidified, awesome quarterback, having no quarterback debate in the offseason is like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I tell you what, we'll take our first break. Quick commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maybe on 939 The Ville.
With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maybe, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station, people. I do also want to take a quick second just to let you know we do appreciate all our partners, all our sponsors, all our advertisers on the show. I just want to remind you, don't just listen to the commercials. Don't just learn them. They are people that work. If your real estate needs Derek A. Stewart, your real estate needs Josh Jarbo. When you hear the commercial Four Pegs, don't just enjoy the commercials that are so well put together. Go to Four Pegs. Go support them. Say, I was listening to it. Marcus had a great idea on a Tuesday. Said I need to try out Four Pegs. Said I need to go back to Four Pegs. So I decided to go to Four Pegs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we do appreciate when you support our sponsors and our partners. It's kind of definitely a side the direction of supporting us as well.
Yeah, no. Oh, no, it majorly is. So, yeah, we appreciate it.
Okay, well, we're going to have to put some kind of bow tie on that conversation without making it sound like the deadest.
Well, yeah, because I still think that there can be excitement for the next season. I mean, I do think.
Right, because if I told you, Steve, yeah. You said it before we went to break. We our focus ends up being the mole,
mm-hmm.
You know, the zit, which is not really a zit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of more like some other kind of blemish, right?
Yeah.
But if you said, take the way the defense was playing at the end of the year, the defense was playing good football.
They were.
You take that, you're adding your pieces, you're happy with the defense, you're happy with the guys you brought in, some good competition level, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. the receiving core. You don't worry about your receiving core. You know you got speed.
I do think the defense will be better next year than they were.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you watched them get – you watched them get to where they could stop people.
Yeah.
Especially in the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
Now, national scale, it remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But in the ACC, which your job is to try to win the ACC, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You have a defense that you feel like can stop these other teams or, you know, or hold them a long time as long as you can put up some points.
Sure.
But I told you, you take the defense, you take the receiving core, and we get, you know, guys that we need to get back here. We get our guys back. Offensive line who graded out well throughout the year.
Yeah.
Grad transfers added. You get your lines, you get your defense, you get your receiving core. You got a big time running back coming in to go with the running back you already got. That was looking really good. So your running back room is tough. And you just say, well, the only thing is the quarterback situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like you're still. But quarterback is still the most important.
No, it is. It is. And that's kind of the thing, man. I think that we're going to be waiting it out. Basically, over the summer, we know now that we need to start. You need to generate a lot of your hope that Malik improves on his turnovers over the, you know, as opposed to.
What does he need to do this offseason? Okay, Steve Rummage is running the Malik Cunningham training facility. What are you doing all offseason?
Oh, man. I think his is going to be more film than it's going to be physical, man. Like, he's got the tools. Like, you know, he's got the physical tools. And, I mean, of course, I need you to still be working. You can always get faster. Bigger, stronger, yeah. All that stuff.
I got him in the weight room.
Yeah,
I got him in the weight room.
But I mean, we have just got to come up with something where there's more reads in our offense, where there's more, you know, there's less, because I think,
or quicker reads.
Yeah, I think some of his interceptions were because I think that the reads he had, I don't think were really reads. I think he kind of had set, you know, we're going to this guy or this guy, and sometimes he made throws that showed that. And it was like, and I think there was a little bit of pressure on him to put it in certain places. So I don't know, man. Like, I think that's where just kind of changing that up a little bit.
Texas says Malik needs durability training. I want to ask you, is he, I won't say injury prone, or is he tough? Is he tough or is he?
Who? Malik?
Yeah.
I think Malik's tough. I don't think Malik sits out.
Because, like, yeah, I was going to say, we feel like he's always injured, but he's never, like, sitting out.
Well, how about this? You want something that can offset Malik's turnovers?
A good running game.
Mitchell, Cooley, Hassan Hall, you know, those guys. Get this offensive line together, get a solid running game going, and, man, I mean, that can really offset, because I do think we're going to have a pretty solid defense. And if we have a good running game, man, I mean, that can win you some games.
Joel, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
What's up, fellas? Yeah, I mean, you guys are hitting all the key points there. I mean, I think one of the benefits that, you know, you never want to say it's a benefit when you lose – 2-2 Atwell, but that guy Malik was so locked in on throwing to that guy, that might be a benefit. Now you got to find some other guys out there to throw to and not get locked in on one particular guy like he seemed to do. I mean, I think the thing is Louisville fans, as far as excitement for Malik, you don't know where to go, because like you said, 2 years ago, and obviously in the bowl game and towards the end of that Satterfield first season, I mean, he was looking good. That's why we were so excited coming into this year. And then this year, it just seemed like, you know, turnovers were a killer for him all year. He was locked in on one receiver and just made bad decisions. So I think, you know, again, as far as the quarterback room goes, I'm more just concerned for the future, because, like, to me, Malik's done after next year, right? So, I mean, who else do you got? I mean, I think after next year, you're going to have to go out and get a top flight grad transfer and then recruit a guy that's going to be able to come in and sit a year under that grad transfer would be my guess. But, you know, we're going to go through the whole off season and summer not knowing exactly what to expect, because we got good pieces. Like you said, you guys mentioned defense is probably going to be better, offensive line, running backs, receivers, they got them. But again, the most critical position, Marcus, like you said, is quarterback, and we're all going to sit here and just going to, it's going to be, it's tough for a fan, but it's going to be a wait and kind of see mode to what he improves on. So hopefully he improves on the turnovers and doesn't get locked in on one guy. So that's just kind of my thoughts, guys. Have a good one.
Appreciate the call.
I do agree with Joel there a little bit. I will say my bigger worry isn't next year. My bigger worry is that there's no next guy in sight right now.
Right.
Wim said it doesn't look like you're going to get. Duffy just went to IMG. I don't know how to uncomfortably say it. I don't think you're going to get him. Okay? So, yeah, it's like that kind of is what I hate about it. So I do agree with Joel on that.
I don't think somebody was doing better. Oh. Brian Hall, play us out, because I don't want to get sucked into one of these ridiculous discussions.
Yeah. So
roll along, Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville.